If you have your Bibles, will you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. In verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The name Emmanuel is, of course, a Hebrew word. We don't think in those categories, but in that day and time, that would have been transparently clear. The word El was the Old Testament word for God, and the Emmanu in front of that was with us. And so God with us was his name. Now, that's a very unusual name. It implies things here more than just accidental. Today, the names that children get are pretty largely traditional, and many of you have the same names. We have to be sure when we say John, you know that we get the right one. But in the ancient world, the names were oftentimes very distinctive. This is surely a most distinctive name. God with us. Now, to someone who does not know the Bible, that does not have much connotation to it. It's just a name. But when you know what the Bible teaches and know where this comes from, then you have the promise of the presence of God with his people. And it's going to be fulfilled through this child. Now, that is a powerful fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and a very important thing for us to learn. We serve a Savior who is omnipresent. That is, he is present everywhere. I'm not talking about everywhere on the face of the earth. I'm talking about everywhere through the entire universe, past all the galaxies that we can see on the photographic plates, billions and billions of galaxies beyond our reach. He is present everywhere because he is present everywhere there is anything. Now, we must ponder this because we serve a God who is infinite. There are no limits. He is everything. And within him, this huge physical universe has been created. He didn't create it as something outside of him. It had to be inside of him because he is everything. And the Lord Jesus, the divine Son, is that omnipresent, omnipotent God who is ruling the universe. Now, that is very clear in Scripture. It's not a matter of theological argument. Now, that means for all of us that we are inside of God. And you can't go anywhere in this world and get out of him. You can't find a place where he is not. Now, that's a great comfort to missionaries who go to a foreign field. They don't know anyone there. They aren't sure about how they have to accomplish God's purpose there. One thing they can be very certain about, God is there already. And he's already got plans for them. And there's already a place for them in his providential will. And so for all of God's people, wherever God has put you, that is not an accident, because he is there. And you are here in this church, not by accident, but because he has put you here. And you are a part of his will. And he is accomplishing things for you that you don't even know about, because you don't understand his perfect will. You see part of it, but he knows it all. And he knows everything that is going to happen to you and all the people you are going to meet and everyone you are going to influence for good or for ill. He is omnipresent. Now, the name God with us is a very precious name, Emmanuel. It's given to some children, but as applied to the Lord Jesus here, in verse 23, he had a supernatural beginning here on earth. His life didn't begin here. It has been always in existence. He has been God the Son forever. He always will be. But here he takes upon him the nature of a human being. Now, this is hard for us to understand, because why would the infinite God who rules the universe wish to be cooped up in the life of a single human being? Well, we haven't got a good human explanation for that. It comes down to the point that every believer can ask himself, why did God love me? And there is no good human answer to that one. He loved us because he is God. And he loves the unlovely, which I'm afraid we all are. When a couple gets married in this world, they generally try to pick the most wonderful person they can find to get married to, which is a good thing. But when you think of what the Lord Jesus did, that wasn't exactly a good choice. We're a poor, sinful, miserable race of people, filled with imperfections, in desperate need of cleansing, and he is prepared to provide it. Now you may ask, why? There is no answer. The answer that Scripture gives us is because he loved us. Now, once again, there's a why riding on that, and we have no answer to it. He loved us because of who he is, not because of how great we are or can ever become. He loved us because he is God, and he loves the unlovely. Now, it's a wonderful thing when you consider the meaning of that word, Emmanuel, God with us. No matter where you are, no matter what trials you may face, you never face them alone. Now that's something that you must put in your mind and your heart so that you recognize the events that happen about you. You're never alone. He is always with you. He is with you to provide strength and wisdom and guidance and comfort. Yes, he is there to be all sufficient for every believer. And we so often forget that. And we look at circumstances. Sometimes we panic. You know, we don't have an answer to this. Why did this have to happen? Well, it happened because he permitted it to happen. And in his providence, he knows whatever it was will be for our good, because he works all things together for good to those who love God. And that's where we are. In our humble way, we love him. But he is infinite, a most wonderful object of love. And we have such frailties. Our love is so tenuous. But his is mighty. It is eternal. It is never going to change. And we can rest in that. Our salvation does not depend on our ability to hold out or to accomplish things well. We've blown that one a long time ago. We trust in his almighty power and his infinite love. And that is something that we can never exhaust. Emmanuel, God with us, the most comforting name in all of Scripture. in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus speaks in the upper room discourse. And in verse 15, he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. If we have love for him, we'll do what pleases him." And that works in human things too. If you love someone, you desire to please them, you do those things that the other person will find pleasant, happy. Now we have to treat God that way. If we really love him, then we're going to be doing things that please him. And it's not a matter of legalism, it's a matter of love. In verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now here is the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, third person in the Trinity, indwells every true believer. Now that is a presence that we can never deserve. It's a presence that is the most powerful encouragement to every saint that we have. There is never a situation that you are called upon to face alone. Always, whatever difficulty you may face, the Spirit of God is within you to comfort, to strengthen, to give wisdom. Always, his presence is with us. It is not a matter of his coming and going. He is omnipresent also. And he abides deliberately in the heart and being of every true believer. That is one of the most comforting things we have in all the Bible. God is with us, and his Spirit is always there to provide the guidance that we need, to provide the strength that we lack, to provide the wisdom that we need to please Almighty God. The Spirit of God is there within us to make us what we should be. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, dropping down to verse 16, Paul ends that short epistle with a prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always, by all means, the Lord be with you all." Now there's a prayer that the presence of the Lord be with his people, not just with certain ones. We think of great leaders of the church like Luther, Calvin, and Wesley, and others, and we think, yes, God surely was with them, surely encouraged them in their stand for the truth, and so on. But the you here is not just great leaders. It is every truly born-again believer. And Paul prays that the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. And then says, "The Lord be with you all." Now, when we think of the presence of the Lord, we don't think of the Lord worrying about anything or being disturbed by anything. He cannot worry. He has serene knowledge of how everything is going to turn out. He has the ability to accomplish his perfect will. And so there is a divine serenity there. And Paul prays that the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Now, friends, let's confess that on occasion we worry. We look at circumstances and we can't see the way to solve problems. We look at them and to us, you know, it's scary. But that is not the case with the Lord. He knows everything about every believer and he is not the least bit worried. Nor should we be. At the Christmas season, it is a very good time to examine once again the basis of our serenity. We can be at peace because he provides the peace. He is peace to those who know him. His presence with us is the peace that sustains us through all trials, difficulties, and problems. There are no problems for him. He accomplishes his purpose. We can rest in that. There's peace in that. That he knows precisely why he has brought us into this world. He knows precisely what we are supposed to be doing. And we can ask him, Lord, is this thy will? Is this the pathway that I should be traveling? If you get a yes, there's great serenity there. He has prepared the way. He is leading you along it. You don't have to worry about anything. Now, friends, we are congenital worriers. We tend to worry about all kinds of things. And for the believer, this is not just unnecessary, it's ridiculous. God has the pathway planned. He's leading us along it. And he knows precisely how it's going to turn out. And we don't have to worry about anything. Now that lifts a huge burden off of every believer. You don't have to accomplish all these things by your strength or your wisdom, whatever. You haven't got enough strength. You haven't got enough wisdom. Let's settle that one right at the beginning. God has all the wisdom we need. He has all the power to accomplish his purpose. And when you're trusting in him, walking his pathway, seeking to follow the leading of his Spirit, there is serene peace because he is Emmanuel, God with us. You have no worry about it. Now, sometimes a little child is sent on an errand. And the little child worries, you know. It's a big, strange world out there. But if a parent is along, the child doesn't worry. It does what it's supposed to do, and, it's all right. If you're a child of God, that's exactly the attitude you should have. You don't have to worry. God is not the least bit distressed. When he asks you to accomplish this purpose and to speak the word, and to live the life, and to be obedient to him, you're no orphan. You're doing all this in his presence. He's right there. You have nothing at all to worry about. And at the Christmas season, it's especially appropriate for us to remind ourselves of this. Emmanuel is not just a great name. Every name of God is a revelation of his character. God with us. That's what he's like. When he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he meant it. There's absolutely no way that you should be worrying about circumstances or adversaries or about your own deficiencies. He's well aware of all of these things, and he's still with you. His presence is still your strength, your guardian. And you can walk serenely on the pathway that he marks out before you, knowing that you are not walking alone. He is with you. He knows the whole path all the way to the very last step, and you have nothing at all to worry about. He will accomplish his purpose. Emmanuel, God with us. One of the most powerful assurances that we have in all the Bible. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, John says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now here's the apostle, an old man by the time he writes these epistles. But he is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he's telling us something that's very important for us to understand fully. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, that ye may have fellowship with us. Now here's an apostle saying that he is writing these things. He is accomplishing this ministry so that the people who are converted may have fellowship with the apostolic company. Now, wow, that's something. To think of having fellowship with the apostles. And yes, we do. There is a bond between us already. Now, you haven't met any of them personally. They may know you already. But you are part of the fellowship that will include them forever. And that fellowship is not going to be broken because it is a fellowship with God. And God is accomplishing his will through his people. The fellowship is with the Father, the loving Heavenly Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you, who promised to bring you into the presence of his Father and present you before the great throne. Now, friends, that should give us immense comfort and peace. It's not something we can achieve, it's something that he has promised to do. And we can rest in that promise. There's no worry about it. He shall accomplish exactly what he promised. In verse 4, the apostle goes on to say, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, I'd hate to think that anyone was worrying at the Christmas season. This is a time of joy, rejoicing, and it should be, because at the Christmas season, we are commemorating the entrance of the Lord Jesus into this world for our salvation. He accomplished that perfectly. He's applying it to our hearts. He will see to it that it is consummated in glory. There is no worry on our part at all. And John writes that our joy may be full. That's the kind of life we should live, friends. A joyful life. A life celebrating the goodness and greatness of God. It's not because we are doing things. It's because he has done them already. And he summons us to a life of obedient service, walking with him on a pathway that he chooses to accomplish his purposes and to rest in his sustaining grace. That's a marvelous idea of salvation, and we should recognize it's clearly taught in Scripture. And so every day should be a day of fellowship. Now, sometimes we can't fellowship with one another, we're not present with one another, but every day the Lord is there. Every day you may walk with him, because he is always present. And when we get together and our pathways cross, it's a fellowship of the redeemed. And he is always present. And when we see others, sometimes we haven't seen for time, it's always joyful because we know the day will come and we shall be with these dear friends forever. The fellowship in heaven will be unbroken. Now, you probably haven't thought about this, but when we get to heaven, don't think that you're going to be one poor, isolated soul in a mob of people that you don't know. Everybody who's a member of this church who's there will be there, and you will be surrounded with friends. But friends, consider something else. The veil will be lifted, and you are going to know everybody who is there. You'll know who the reformers were and all the people who were converted at that time. You'll know the apostles and you'll know the first century converts. You won't have to go around for thousands of years shaking hands and introducing yourself to people. I mean, the veil will be lifted. You will be part of the company of the saints. They all know one another. There's not a stranger in heaven. They're part of the family of God. And you know every member of the family. And so you will in heaven. You will have the joy of fellowshipping with people that you have never met in this life, but who have walked the pathway before you and will be delighted to see you and you will be part of the family that worships the Lord and lives in his presence forever. Now, friends, there is tremendous comfort in that. And we must draw upon that because many of our experiences here in this life are difficult to go through. And we struggle with circumstances. Remember, the day is coming when you will never have any harsh circumstances again. They will be gone. And instead, you will be surrounded with people who love you and know you, and that you will fellowship with forever in the presence of the Lord, who guided your steps perfectly and led you into his presence without a single misstep. Only he can accomplish such a thing. In Revelation chapter 3, dropping down to verse 20, the Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now here's a remarkable scene. The Lord of the universe stands at the heart's door and knocks. He is courteous. He does not smash the door down and tramp his way in. He knocks. And we have to recognize the knock and open the door and welcome him in. He's not going to force his way in. And that is a scene always of conversion. The Lord never just crushes someone down and batters his way into the life. He knocks at the door. And if you hear him, it's a good thing to open the door and welcome him in. It's infinite blessing if you do. It's infinite loss if you don't. But his presence will make you an overcomer, because he is present, because he is the ruler of your heart. There is nothing that can harm you. You are going to be a victor over every battle. You're going to triumph over every adversary, because he wills it. And he's going to bring you safely into his presence with rejoicing and eternal celebration. A marvelous scene. The thing that causes us to pause is the fact that maybe he has been knocking and we haven't been listening. We need to cock our spiritual ears, so to speak, that when he knocks, we may be prepared to hear and listen and obey. And he speaks through this blessed book that we're reading. He touches our hearts by this word. And responding to that word is a way we can show that we want him within. We cherish his fellowship, and we want to walk with him in paths of light. There's a prayer that Paul utters. You need not turn there. But in Ephesians 3:19, Paul prayed that you may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes. To know the love of Christ, it is infinite. It is staggering. He loves us with a love that is divine, that will ultimately break every shackle of sin, deliver us from all the powers of darkness, will transport us into his presence in glory, will give us a robe of righteousness that we can never deserve, will give us the fellowship of the saints and the angels and the whole company of heaven to stand before him and sing his praises and obey his will forever. Nothing we could ever do could deserve that. He does it because he loves us. And we have the opportunity of opening the heart's door and welcoming him in and joyously serving him. This is how we should be living, in joy. Why? Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. It's not that we're going to meet him sometime in the distant future. He's here tonight, now. He is present with every believer. You don't have to go someplace and find him. He's present. You don't have to find words to speak to him. He knows exactly what's in your heart. We can talk to him now. We can thank him now for what he's doing. We can submit to his leadership, his guidance now, because he is with you to guide you now. There is a scene in Revelation 21 that shows us the consummation of his divine purpose. In Revelation 21, verse 3, John says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" That is the scene of consummation, when in glory God promises to accomplish his perfect will for his people. And sorrow as such is gone. It will be forever lifted from God's people. In its place will be everlasting joy, the joy of the presence of God, the joy of the bridegroom rejoicing in his bride, the joy of fellowship with the eternal God. And we can never deserve it, and we can never repay it. It's something he loves to give because he loves us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's already with us. He's going to bring us into his presence. He's got eternity already planned. We're going to be with him forever. Friends, the Christmas season is a good time to remember these things and to thank him for what he has promised and will surely fulfill. He desires each one personal fellowship, personal love. He's already pouring it out upon us. It's going to increase until in his presence in glory, it becomes infinite love, which is beyond our comprehension. Friends, the presence of Jesus is everything. We need to think about it. We need to thank him for that. We need to consciously walk in his presence, that every day may be a day of blessed fellowship with the divine Son of God. Our husband, the one who loves us and has promised us that we shall be in his presence forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, have you been worrying? You need to put that at the feet of the Lord. Have you been disturbed about things? You need to put that at the feet of the Lord. His way is perfect. He is not far distant. He is present with every believer. He knows the problems, burdens, trials. There's nothing that he's missed. There's nothing that he can't deal with. We need to bow in his presence and thank him for always being with us, always ready to help and guide and guard us and bring us along the pathway that leads to his divine presence. O Lord, forgive us that we worry. Forgive us that we stray away from that pathway. By thy grace, lead us and accompany us along the pathway. Guide our steps. Give us that grace we need. Help us to walk every day, every step, in the consciousness that thou art with us, that thy presence is there to strengthen and guide and bless. Help us day by day that we may walk with thee forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.